Welcome back to the Sip and Feast podcast, episode number 46. Everything you need to organize your pantry. Tara, this is a great idea. This is a great idea for a podcast episode. I am glad that once again, you came up with it and not me. You always have the good ideas. She does. She comes up with a lot of them. And I will say that this topic is probably, it's perfect for spring right now. It's like spring cleaning. Basically, like you're probably thinking about cleaning your garage, maybe cleaning out the shed, moving the stuff, you know, that was winterized back out in your backyard or your porch or whatnot. But really, you should probably be thinking about cleaning that pantry also. And I have seen some pantries that have had things expired for probably a decade. Tara, I actually wasn't singling out you at all there, but that's, you're doing that. Are you worried that you have some stuff like that? I don't think you do.
I do have some old stuff that needs to go, like nuts. Like, actually, I have stuff in the fridge that needs to go, like stuff that expired in like 2020, like mustard. And I don't know where this stuff comes from. It shows up, it hides in the back of the fridge, and then I forget about it for like years.
Yeah, and I don't want to get hung up on a refrigerator. I think a refrigerator one is almost a separate episode. I will just say quickly that we have two refrigerators. We have the home refrigerator and we have the work refrigerator. And the work refrigerator is everything for Sip and Feast. And that one, I would say, is much cleaner and much more mm-hmm. barren than the other one that everything is shoved in there. Like the one for Sip and Feast, you know, things go quickly. I'm like, okay, this isn't like really good. I kind of have to get rid of it or I bring it into the other fridge, the home fridge, but kind of need the ingredients to look better. And it's nice that it's open, but that's not how a person, a family can live. They can't live like how someone who's making YouTube cooking videos does. So if you want that type of episode, please let us know and we'll do a whole episode on the refrigerator. But today we're going to be singling out the pantry.
Yes, this is a good one.
Yeah, you just quickly, you said it was like your nut section and everything. Now that's not technically our pantry. And I kind of let you have free reign of that area.
Like, you let me?
Well, I don't.
You let me.
Okay, I don't say anything. Yes, I let you. I let you have free reign of the nut drawer. Okay, but I don't.
This is a family show.
I don't do anything with that. And I'm telling you, the amount of stuff you have, it's mostly all from Trader Joe's.
Okay, so the intent and purpose of this podcast, the nut drawer, as you so put it, is part of a pantry.
Okay.
Like most people have a pantry and they store, if they store nuts, they're storing it in their pantry. They don't have a separate drawer for it. That's just our layout.
Yeah, you don't even have one drawer. You have like a whole entire cabinet. It's the nut cabinet. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the pantry and we're going to move the nuts and everything into the typical person's pantry.
All right. So yeah, expired stuff needs to go.
And you seem very annoyed that I said I gave you free reign of that drawer. I mean,
you're like, I let you have this little parcel.
You get free reign. You have free reign and control of everything. I know. Barely, the only thing I have control is like of one drawer.
I think it's just funny how you phrased it.
Well, okay. I don't want people to think that I'm some tyrant, you know, so. Well,
heaven forbid.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to cleaning out the pantry, the first step is to actually clean it out. Take everything out of the pantry so that you can better assess everything that you've got. You can look at expiration dates. You can also assess the true amount of space that you have in your pantry before you start loading it back up. And oftentimes, when we've cleaned it out, I'm amazed at how much space we have and how poorly we're actually using it. So one of the things that I think comes in very handy, and we have kind of an odd pantry, like it's kind of deep and it's hard to get into the back. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Ours is more like a closet. We had our kitchen semi-redone when we moved into the house. When I say semi-redone, the kitchen in our old videos was actually redone, though many people will comment and say your kitchen looks like it's from 1985.
Well, we didn't do the cabinets.
Yeah, we didn't do the cabinets.
We did the side that you couldn't see on camera.
Precisely. We did the side you couldn't see. I left the IKEA cabinets and I left the stick-on wall tile. And it's funny, some people would be like, I have that same stick-on wall tile,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Actually, it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah. But anyway, we redid the side you couldn't see and we moved the refrigerator to a different spot of the kitchen and we built a closet/pantry. And that is our whole pantry. And as Tara is saying, it is a little deep and it's not the best. A more ideal pantry would be wider where you have either bifold doors or, or slider. And maybe an accordion would work well. You need something that you have full access. That's the thing with bifold. Like you lose that last 20% on the sides and a slider, you lose half of it.
Yeah. So I think for the side that is deep, where it's kind of hard to reach in and grab stuff, the solution for that is those containers, like those clear containers.
I love those containers.
That you can kind of use almost like a drawer. So, for example, if you have a bunch of mac and cheese, let's say you went to Costco and you stocked up on the mac and cheese that they have there, you could put, what is it, like 12 boxes that comes in a pack? You can put the 12 boxes into one of those like plastic container type things.
Yeah.
And you can pull it out almost like...
Well, let's back it up.
Like what you would a drawer.
These containers, different, they're made by a lot of brands, but... The ones that Tara specifically referring to a set we purchased at Costco, but you don't have to get this at Costco. Lowe's has them, Home Depot, Amazon. They're clear plastic. They're very durable. They can hold a lot of weight, and they come in all different sizes and lengths. So some are wide that maybe they're actually the exact width of a standard American tomato can, which is 28 ounces. So you can fit them all like laying down in there. Then there's other ones that are far narrower. Maybe they can fit a standard 15 ounce can of beans. So there's all different uses. And to be honest with you, we bought a bunch. I think as Tara is saying, having even more would work wonderful. Yeah. This is a cheap solution because, you know, high-end solution is going to be having actual pull out drawers in your closet, which, you know, gets very expensive if you have a carpenter or somebody do this for you.
Yeah. And actually this is my fault, but I am getting ahead of myself. I wanted to talk about organization after we talk about like the actual clean out.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the clean out and talk about the clean out.
Yeah. Let's go back to the clean out.
So again, get everything out. Then you can assess what you're working with as far as what's in your pantry. And you can also assess the space you have. One thing I would say is definitely, and it's obvious, look at expiration dates.
Yeah.
But some of the things that you might not think to look at, which are actually really important, is if you're storing like baking soda in your pantry, baking soda does expire. And if it's past its expiration date or if it's even just not even that fresh, you're going to get a different result when you're using your baking soda in different
goods. You look that up, it does change the results?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I didn't know. I mean, I definitely know yeast eventually can die and then it goes from working to not working at all for you.
Yeah. You should always use as fresh baking soda as possible in order to get the results that you're looking for when it comes to rise.
We had an issue with when we made the Guinness chocolate cake. This cake we put out a few weeks ago, we put it out before St. Patrick's Day. It went mini viral on the internet. We didn't do a video for it, obviously, but it ended up getting like almost 100,000 page views in a few days. And I think Google was showing it on this thing called Google Discover. And so many people made it, and we were worried. We get worried under this situation because when that happens, that means the recipe better be spot on perfect. Because if it's not, oh boy, a lot of those people are going to let you know because a lot of them are making it. So one of the first comments after it went viral was from a person that said, you know, you ruined, what is it, like you ruined my oven or something?
I don't think she was being like super accusatory or anything, but she was saying that she questioned the amount of baking soda that we had in there because hers started to spill over.
Yes.
When she was making it. So I right away and panicked and I was like, oh my gosh, we tested the recipe multiple times, but what if our baking soda was old and needed to be replaced and maybe she's right. Turns out she lives at a very high altitude and I think she was over 6,500 feet. So once you increase, and I'm not an expert in this altitude stuff. There's actually, I think it's King Arthur. They have a great article that talks about, you know, the effect that altitude has on baking. But it turns out she was, I think, in Colorado at a high altitude and needed to reduce the amount of baking soda that she used. Long story short, she wound up writing back saying that it came out great despite like having puffed up a little bit too much and everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, but I did run out and I did buy a brand new package of baking soda to test it with fresh baking soda. And I had the same results that I had with.
Yeah. And that's a hunt. Yeah. I mean, this was actually giving me stress. The stress of a food recipe maker. Mm-hmm. No, but I was
worried. It is stressful.
I was worried. So we did it quickly, got it done. And so then I was like, all right, before we knew about the altitude, I was thinking, oh, maybe she didn't use the exact size pan that I specified. So the baking tray, whatever it's called. What is the exact?
It's a sheet pan for cake.
Yeah. So it's like a 2.5 inch deep, roughly. Basically,
it's like a 9 by 13.
9 by 13. This is a standard baking sheet
cake.
It's like for a sheet cake and it holds 14 quarts. So I was like, okay, maybe she used a square one, like a 12 by 12, and it only held, say, 10 quarts, which would definitely explain it. But in the end, it was the altitude and.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it came down to. So, let's move back to, what you were talking about, the other ingredients that can go bad.
Yeah, that's right. But long story short, check your baking soda and replace it if necessary.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is, so we're going to talk about spices too, because I think we're going to group spices in with the pantry, even though a lot of people have a separate spice cabinet, but spices should be replaced too. I mean, old spices definitely lose their potency and won't give you the same effect when you're using them to bake with. I've come across super old spices and like I think we have spices in our cabinet right now from when we lived in Queens in the year 2002.
No, I've cleared it out.
No.
Okay. Well, you know what it is? This is a hoarding mentality. It's a sunk cost mentality, sunk cost fallacy. You buy something, you're like, oh, I only got one or two uses out of it. It's brand, you know, it's still filled. It's 90% filled. But the issue is, it's 90% filled with something that's not nearly as potent anymore and just not as flavorful. If you're even a moderate cook and you like to read about, you know, stuff like this, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You will always hear the same trope. Buy the smallest amount of spice as possible because it will be the freshest. And then you'll run out of it in a few months and you'll go back and buy new fresh spices again. You know, those really big ones that are 12-ounce containers, those are for restaurants. And they're not even for restaurants. They're for like catering companies. They're for places that do a massive amount of volume of certain things. Like, okay, we're doing 500 pounds of chili a week. Well, yeah, you got to have big containers of cumin, chili powder, garlic powder, et cetera. But for a home cook, those ones, and they're sold at Costco, they are not the best. I don't recommend them. And do I fall prey to sometimes buying one or two at Costco? If I'm going to use a lot of it, maybe in the summer when we do barbecue and I'm making a lot of rubs and stuff, for the most part, you're better off going small and you're really better off going whole spice and grinding them yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
So like cumin seed would be better than ground cumin. Take the cumin seed, you can dry roast it, whatever. You can put it in a spice grinder, a coffee grinder, and then you will have the most potent cumin you've ever tasted in your life.
The other thing in the pantry where I feel like I feel like the pantry in our house, and let us know in the comments if you feel the same way, if this happens in your house, because I want to know if I'm alone or not. I feel like our pantry is where things go to die. And the thing that is constantly going to die is cereal. Like, I can't, first of all, I don't eat the cereal. You don't eat the cereal. The kids do. And they're the ones that ask for it. And sometimes they'll eat it in the morning. More often than not, they're not eating anything in the morning. They're like, nah, I'm not hungry. I want to go. We have so many boxes of cereal where there's like, I don't know, a quarter inch left in the bag, but yet it's in a full box that's taking up so much space. Why does this happen?
It drives me nuts. I think part of it is, since we don't eat it, our kids don't want to have that last bit because they think it might be old.
So then throw out the bag.
I think the onus is on us as the parents to do that for them. No,
they need to get better. They're
Yeah, but then they might start throwing out stuff that's half full.
Okay, but they're like James is almost 13, Sammy's almost 16. They need to step it up. Not that they listen to this, but if they're listening, step it
no,
up.
No, James is like just starting to learn to cook, to prepare his ramen and stuff by himself. And Sammy's a lot more experienced, but I do think that's not something that just kids do. That's something that adults do. They don't want to throw out that Tostito bag that has like 10% left. It's been there since like 2020.
I know. Yeah. Okay, so that's further proof that the spring cleaning of the pantry needs to take place. And actually, as we're talking about this, like we need spring cleaning
quarterly.
In our pantry.
I think quarterly is the way to do it.
Yeah. Because, well, at least annually.
You know, 3 months of a 10% filled Tostito bag, those Tostitos are stale. They should be thrown out.
Needs to go.
You know, that.
I know. The cracker.
The Captain Crunch needs to go. You know, if you don't.
Well, we don't have we have Captain Crunch.
She gets so upset if I say that too. Like, she like really thought, you really thought there, Tara, that like people were going to judge you for buying Captain Crunch.
I don't Captain Crunch.
Number one, Tara has never bought Captain Crunch in her life. But number two, I was thinking about Captain Crunch because I haven't had it in about 20 years.
Speaking of Captain Crunch, you just like activated a memory. I think it was, you and I must have been together. Do you ever have the peanut butter Captain Crunch?
Yeah, it's even better.
That was so good.
We don't do any peanut butter stuff because our daughter's allergic. So there's no peanuts in the house anymore. That being said, I feel like I still need to do like some like a peanut sauce or something. Is that okay if I do that this year? You know,
like for the website?
Yeah, like, I mean, I want to do it. I love the chicken and the beef saute.
Yeah, if you're going to do something like that, you really have to keep it separate. And I actually have a knife. It's a butter knife that I wrapped black electric tape around. And if I do buy peanut butter, because sometimes James wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I will make it for him, but we'll use, you know, a paper plate and discard it. And I use this butter knife. And I told Sammy, I said, as soon as I am done with this knife, I clean it and sanitize it. I said, but still don't ever use the knife with the black tape on it because it's the peanut butter knife.
Yeah. I mean, allergies are something that I think a lot of people, like all different ones, you know, you have to worry about. Sammy was actually discussing, we were talking about this. It's getting worse and worse. There's stuff in Costco from a few years ago. Like we have them because we don't clean our pantry out enough. Like it'll be like pinoli nuts from 3 years ago. It won't say anything about processed in a factory that processes peanuts. The newer bag does. It's getting to the point where every single thing is saying that. So, and it's happening because companies are worried about being sued. Mm-hmm. You know, in the United States, there's no limit on what you can sue for.
Yeah.
And so honestly, if I owned a big food processing plant, I think I would put it on all my labels too, even if it's like almost 100% certain that there is no allergen in it.
You have to have like, I have seen some things like the almond butter that I used to buy from Costco. I don't know if they have it anymore, but it says made in a dedicated peanut-free facility. So
I mean, they're few and far between, those facilities, because of globalization. Everything is made in the same place. Like, there's not 100 different factories that are processing this stuff. It's a few big ones, and then the brand name gets attached to it after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But we're moving off topic.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, moving more off topic, I'm sorry if you hear the rain at all today. It's right here, right in back of tower, this corner is a downspout, and this rain has been relentless the last few days. It just doesn't stop.
It's kind of nasty out, even though it is springtime, but I'm in a sweatshirt because I'm freezing, and you're in a flannel because that's all you wear.
Tara, I know you want to go into organization. I'm sorry for digressing even more. We didn't even set up what we're doing for the taste test today.
Oh, set it up.
Okay. Like, I mean, they're probably like, is there a taste test?
There is a taste test.
We didn't even mention it. There is a taste test. There is always a taste test from now on. Honestly, I love them. It's like one of the funnest parts of my week.
Funnest?
What? How to say that correctly?
I think it's most fun.
It's my most, it's the most fun day of the week for me. Okay. Whatever. You're not here for my expert grammatical skills. That's probably
is
not right either.
Is funnest a word? I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's not.
Watch it be a word and then I'm correcting you.
You know, people go nuts when I say moister. And I looked that up and that is a word.
It is.
Moister is a word. Okay, anyway, we're going to be doing three different canned ingredients from Trader Joe's. And they are the Greek stuff. So the grape leaves, the tomato, eggplant and tomato.
Yeah.
And then what's the last one?
Chickpeas.
These are good from most brands. I don't know if I've had all the Trader Joe's brands, so you have to wait and see for that.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into organization. So we started talking about using the clear type of containers for when you have a deep pantry, but you can also use it in a shallow pantry too. They have all different shapes and sizes. Costco usually does have some sort of container, but you can also get them on Amazon. But I will tell you that some of the best deals as far as price goes, you'll find at if you have Home Goods or HomeSense or Marshalls. Or I don't go into TJ Maxx, but I know TJ Maxx is the same company.
Same company.
So if you have one of those near you, I would definitely go there and see what they've got. Their prices are always great. Also, for if you have a small pantry or if you have a large pantry and you just want to use the most of your space, get an over-the-door rack to hold whatever you want it to hold. They'll have like, you know, sometimes three or four tiers.
They are
to
great.
Them, and they're great.
I have one downstairs in a box that I haven't opened yet.
I know, but I think we should put one. First of all, I think we should put one in our own, but I also think we should put one over our basement door because I feel like that's a good spot to stick cleaning supplies.
The biggest problem, they are great. I mean, that is such unused space in a typical setup like this. The main issue is if you do it, you want to make sure that you're driving 3.5-inch screws in through the jamb at the top, because what'll happen is, like, through the hinges at the top, the hinge side that connects to the jamb that connects to the 2x4 underneath it, okay?
Huh?
That's, listen, most people are going to know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then have somebody do it for you. But what that'll do is it'll prevent the door from sagging, because the door, when you put all that weight on there, the door is just going to go like this, and then the top corner of the door is going to rub, and the door won't close properly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, really, you should have those big screws in, even for a door that doesn't have that, like especially for an entry door, a front entry door, you should do it, because those are typically solid doors that are very heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are great for making the most of your space. We have a few wire baskets, like hanging basket type things that I think we got those from Costco actually a while ago, but I put those on the floor of the pantry because it gives you more space.
The floor, like,
you
don't want to put spot.
You probably don't want to put food directly onto the floor in the pantry, but if you get these like little baskets, I use those for onions, potatoes, some of those types of things.
Yeah, onions and potatoes, you're supposed to separate them, but you keep them in your pantry in a dark area. Supermarkets, when the store closes, they take big burlap and they put it over all the potatoes and stuff that needs to be in the dark so the potatoes don't get eyes as quickly.
Yeah. Speaking of eyes, do you know who has a phobia of potato eyes?
James.
Yeah. I pulled stuff out of the pantry yesterday. It was potatoes that were actually in a plastic bag. I don't know why they were in the plastic bag. I usually take them out.
Yeah, they got to be taken out of the bag when you get home with them.
Yeah, but I must have forgotten to do that. And they had eyes all over them. So I showed them to him and he was like, he reverted to being a little boy. He was like, please get them away from me. They're so scary. He was like, I'm so afraid of potato eyes. So anyway, apparently it's a thing to have a phobia of potato eyes. Anyway, again, off topic.
That's not off topic.
We should just call the Sip and Feast podcast like the off topic podcast because everything is off
topic. Let me tell you something right now. If you listen to other podcasts, if you, I don't care who it is, this is following a topic, I would say, and you know, you let Tara know, this is following more than almost all podcasts. The only ones that follow more so are ones that are serial type, and those are highly produced, okay? Those are, that's a completely different type of podcast, and yeah. Which I take it you don't listen to any of them.
No.
But those have, like, music, they have, like...
Yeah, it's almost like a, know, like different like a show.
Voice actors.
Yeah. And,
but this one, I mean, most podcasts is just a bunch of just babbling for three or 4 hours, you know?
And yeah, I suppose.
Smoking cigars and whatever else.
Taste testing food.
Taste testing Joe's. Greek food, yeah.
All right, let's move on. I also like the airtight food containers. Those are good for like rice or lentils.
Yes.
Beans, pasta. So Jim has like a whole bunch of deli soup containers filled with a variety of dried pastas. If you use like half a pound of pasta, you'll put the other back in a soup container.
Deli container. I've showed this in the most recent video. I showed this was the Italian wedding soup, which we released probably 6 weeks ago.
So. Yeah, and you came out with a stack. Yeah. But they do sell the pretty containers, you know, at Costco or Home Goods or whatever. If you wanna make your pantry look really nice,
It's a cost because you know what it is? You don't want to do it like half ass. You don't want to be, I'm going to get a quarter of the containers or half of them. You want to get them all. So then it's like this big outlay of money, but then those containers will last you
forever. Yeah.
And certain things are really worth putting in those containers, like sugar, flour.
Yep.
I mean, powdered sugar, forget it. You know, those will attract ants so quickly. So you really want to get them
chocolate
sealed up.
Chips.
Yeah.
We put in containers because you get we'll get the bag of chocolate chips from Costco and it's big and it usually does seal, but sometimes it doesn't seal properly. So you're better off just putting everything into a container. And you can get those stick-on labels and just say like, oh, these are from April of 2024. That way you know when you put them in there.
Yeah, or you could just do what I do. I just use painter's tape, blue painter's tape. I use it for everything. I use it for the pantry. I use it for when I'm putting stuff in the freezer, when I'm wrapping meat. One more thing about pests and bugs. Pantry moths, okay? These things will do a ton of damage very quickly. You can buy the little stick-on bait stuff from Lowe's. You won't even know it's there. You just put it in there. And that'll prevent, because if you get one pantry moth and they get into like your flour and stuff, like it will ruin everything quickly.
I feel like we had them at point. Wasn't it?
We did.
Wasn't it the cat food? Cat food?
I don't know what it was, but that's why I'm mentioning it. And the solution is so simple.
Yeah, that was like a long time. Was in Minnesota, wasn't it? That we had them?
I don't remember, but I know I've been using it as preventative measures from now on.
Yeah. I think it was the cat food.
Even the little ant traps are good to just preventative measure because right now the time of year, the changing of seasons is when all the little ants will just come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible to isolate where they're getting in through. It could be a window. That's fairly common. bottom of a door. You know, it's hard to know exactly.
Yeah.
But those traps, they go in there. It's bait. They take it back, and then the whole entire colony dies.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah.
No pesticides, anything. You're just putting the bait there, and
yeah,
that's it.
One other contraption that I saw, it's not even a contraption. It's like a storage thing, is for tea. Now, if you were to come into our house and ask for a cup of tea, I would pull out a box that's probably 20 years old, that's almost falling apart. And there's tea bags in there that are probably also almost 20 years old. It ranges in age from 20 to, you know, 6 months, 6 months old.
That's your tea.
I have a whole bunch of tea. Now, I think tea also does lose its
absolutely
potency. So I need to take my own advice here, and I need to spring clean my tea bags. But I saw this really cool contraption. I think it was on Amazon, where it has like little drawers that are the size of tea bags, and it's maybe like six of them. I'm trying to remember. But you can put your different tea bags in and easily pull it out. And there you go.
Yeah.
Instead of like when we have company here and somebody's like, oh, yeah, I'll have an herbal tea. And then I take out this box and it's like,
well, that's your
you have to sift.
That's your teas.
I know. And I'm saying I have a problem. I'm admitting I have a problem.
I get the boxes and I just,
I know,
you know, and I go through them quick.
Yeah. But your boxes are also taking up space. They would be much better if you could organize them.
I used to be more into the tea, and I would do I had the tea ball.
Yes.
And I was using the fresh, yep, not the fresh, the whole tea, but that's kind of a pain. I just went back to tea bags.
Okay. So the next thing I just wanted to mention, yeah, is for spice cabinet organization. They do sell those three tiered shelves. So if you want to be able to easily see what spices are behind the other spices, those shelves look good. We're guilty. Anytime we have to take something out of the spice cabinet, I have to take everything out that's in front in order to find anything that's in the back of the cabinet. And it's just, it's not the best use of space.
We have too much stuff in the regular, yeah, kitchen. We have honestly, the Simp and Feast kitchen is better equipped.
It is.
It's only the stuff that I use in the videos. So it's lax. There's like a lot of the specialty stuff, like, I don't know, everything that's on the top shelf in the main kitchen. Mm-hmm. That stuff I don't touch. That's your stuff. And it's a, mm-hmm, disaster up there. It's a disaster.
Okay. So we have some spring cleaning ahead of ourselves to do. But really quick, Jim, I thought it would be helpful. First of all, I know we should do a full pantry tour.
Yes. We're going to do that on
video.
It's going to be on Patreon.
Yeah.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, then it will be coming up. We're actually today going to be doing a taste test non-alcoholic beer on Patreon. So we're going to be filming that one after we film this episode. And that one will be on Patreon too in a couple weeks. But I think the tour is the best for there.
I think so too.
I'm not going to put it on the main YouTube channel. I'm not going to put it here. So that's where it's going,
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, it's really more of a visual thing. I don't think folks who are choosing to listen to the podcast, which by the way, I don't watch podcasts.
Yeah.
I prefer to listen to them. But I think a pantry tour is better for a visual,
yeah,
thing.
We don't know if you're listening or watching here. You know, I look at the, you know, how this podcast does, and there are more people listening than watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I even think that a lot of the people that are quote unquote watching it probably have it in the background,
mm-hmm,
and maybe not too intently.
Yeah.
That's why we do try to be descriptive with the taste tests.
So really quickly go through some, you know, like I said, we'll do a full pantry tour at some,
yeah,
point, but I want you to be able to give folks an idea of some of the things that you think are necessary to have in the pantry at all times.
Yeah. So the thing I helped Tara with this list before. So the things that are really like that are necessary for my pantry, but probably for your pantry, if you cook the similar types of food, is pasta. So small pasta, tubular, and then long pasta. So small would be all those containers I brought out in that video. And that would be your orzo, ditalini,
Cini di pepe.
That one, pastina, which, you know, there's a whole bunch. shells, tiny shells. Then your tubular would be your ziti, your rigatoni, piccirri, mezzi rigatoni, stuff like that. And your long ones would be your linguine and your pappardelle and spaghetti. My favorite long one is definitely linguine.
Me too.
It's so good.
I love linguine.
It's just a tiny change from spaghetti, but it is infinitely superior.
I couldn't agree more.
What is it about that it just, it's crazy. And now listen, spaghetti is by no means bad, but
I would never buy spaghetti.
Yeah.
James asks for it. Linguine is my favorite. I like that it's flat. I'd prefer to eat a flat pasta rather than a round pasta. Like I'm not a bucatini fan.
Bucatini is good, but I think it should be used for just cacio pepe or amatriciana or maybe one or two other mm-hmm. things. It's very specific.
Yeah. I don't know. Give me a plate of linguine and I'm good.
You know, I think the reason linguine is superior is it's harder to overcook it. It has a better bite.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you follow package instructions and you cook both of them to very al dente, it's still the spaghetti. It just doesn't have that mouthfeel that linguine does.
I agree.
You know, nothing beats DiCecco linguine. You know, you can get like the super high end, like Giuseppe Coco or whatever other brands that I never buy because they're like $6 a pound. DiCecco linguine, that is the best.
That is. We should do an episode also. I know we've had people ask for it. We should do an episode where we talk about which pasta shapes for which sauce.
Yes.
So okay. That is on our list.
Yeah, if you want that one, please leave it in the comments. You know, we have about 50 ideas, and honestly, the way we decide which ones are going to be next isn't too scientific. The next part of your pantry should be canned goods like beans, tuna, tomatoes,
anchovies.
You know, anchovies. I'm a broken record here, but Costco is your friend. Why go to another place and pay double or triple? It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. Once again, I will reiterate, Costco does not support this podcast, our YouTube cooking videos, or our website in any way possible. They don't even know we exist. But, and this is a big but, I try to give you what I think is going to be the best information for you. I did this from the beginning. I did this from 6 years ago when I was making $0 doing this. I wasn't making $0 doing this 6 years ago. I was losing money because I was paying for all the stuff that involves doing this. But I, from the get-go in the pictures, I was showing DiCecco in the ingredient shots. I was saying like the best place to get this is here. In the cooking videos, I was saying the best place to buy this is Costco. And I was doing that simply to try to provide you with the app actually unsolicited. Like nobody was pushing me to say that. I was trying to give you the best piece of information that I genuinely believed. And I still to this day believe it. Next thing, rice, grains, legumes. Again, Costco's your friend here. You know, some things, maybe you don't want to buy 25 pound bag of rice. I do get that.
We get that because we use rice quite a bit in our home. So it really does make sense for us to get the big bag from Costco. And then what we do is rather than reach into the 25 pound bag every time, we put it in those clear containers and store it in the pantry.
Yeah, they seal. Those containers hold about 6 to 8 pounds of rice. So if you wanted to, when you came home with a 25 pound bag, you could put it into three containers and fit it all. But normally what I will do is I will put it into one container. So I got about 6 or 8 pounds there. And then I will wrap the bag, close it very tightly, and I will use tape, like duct tape, and I will just seal the heck out of it so nothing can get in there. And that's kind of my strategy. And then that big bag of rice I will put at the bottom of the pantry or just out of the way somewhere. Next thing, so yeah, grains, legumes, yeah, obviously Costco. Flour, sugar, baking soda. Costco again. I mean, Costco sells 10 or 12 pound bags of flour. They also have a 25 pound bag and I think a 50 pound, but a 10 or 12 is perfectly fine for a home cook. You know, if you bake, you will go through flour very quickly. Sugar too. They have raw sugar. They have other types of sugar. again, you know, you don't want to buy the stuff there. Just buy it in another place that mm-hmm. gives you a good deal. Baking soda, you know, you could get that anywhere. Oils, vinegars. Where should we buy those, Tara?
Costco.
Why pay more? And it's not, you're not paying a little more. You're paying an insanely, like an insane markup. There's this guy, his name is Bobby Flavish. His whole entire business is...
That's not his name. It's Bobby Parrish.
Bobby Parrish.
Flav City.
My God, I combined the Flav City. Anyway, his whole entire business is just talking about Costco.
Does he get sponsored by Costco?
I don't even think he does. He films videos in the place, but he has he does like a health angle, like where he's like counting carbs.
He has
and stuff.
An app.
Yeah.
Like he has an app where it says it's Bobby approved.
Yeah. So he's so got like
you
this
can. I think
gimmick.
You can scan the food, like scan the barcode or something. I haven't used it.
Yeah.
You can scan the code and it'll come back and tell you if he approves of it or not. He's like kind of into the natural ingredients, like
that's like what's the right word? The ode to authority. Like he's basically telling people how to think. Like they want to like follow him.
Yeah,
so
they
like,
want. They don't want to read labels themselves.
Yeah.
Or they're, but so they'd rather listen to what to whether or not Bobby approves of it. I think.
Yeah, I'm curious how much of an overlap he is here if you listen to him or not. Anyway, he's hugely popular. I mean, he used to make cooking videos. Probably he's been doing this stuff for a long time, probably like over 10 years,
yeah,
15
I think
years.
He brings his daughter on a video with him, like a little baby. She was like a baby.
He used to make regular cooking videos.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I ever watched his stuff.
He made a switch into not the cooking videos. Now it's about this. And, you know, again, that's what he does. And listen, I don't watch a lot of his stuff, but I know that's what I see. He comes up on ads all the time on Facebook. Like I'll just be on Facebook and it'll just be him like advertising seed or
I actually do
or
see
some
him.
Like drops or something.
Yeah, yeah, I do see him come up on Facebook. I see him and I see the medical medium.
Medical
also.
Medium. Yeah, he's in the same, if you...
It's so like the same niche.
He's the same thing as the medical medium, that type of niche. Like, it's basically like, I don't know, like health stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, artichoke hearts, capers, sun-dried tomatoes. These are all great. You know, you get these in a lot of places. I do have an Amazon store. You know, I try to link the stuff for like in the recipes to be helpful. But often I won't link certain things because the markup is just insane. It'll be like $22 for a jar of artichoke hearts when you can go get them at the store for $4. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
One thing I put on the list of stuff to put in your pantry for a rainy day is stuff for like when you're sick or for when your kids are sick. Like you can get the individual servings of applesauce and the individual cans of ginger ale and also Gatorade. And I feel like having like a little designated section and be like, listen,
the sick section.
These are for when we're sick. You're not allowed to take the ginger ale because you just feel like having a ginger ale, or you're not allowed to take the Gatorade. It's specifically there for when somebody is sick. And I mean, I know like ginger ale is not the healthiest thing, but that stuff works when you're feeling like nauseous or something.
I love ginger ale.
Anytime I was sick when I was a kid, if I would have like the flat ginger ale and it would really help. So I think just like keeping that little designated section is
ginger
good.
Ale is great. Is that what Shirley Temple's made with ginger ale, right?
I think it's Sprite.
Oh, it's Sprite.
Isn't
okay.
it Sprite and grenadine?
Yeah. Well, anyway,
and cherry juice.
Ginger ale is better than Sprite. Other things, nuts. There's a lot of places. If you don't want to go to Costco, Trader Joe's has nice little sizes of them. So you can have a huge nut cabinet like Tara has. And then I got spices, salts. There's a lot of places you can buy them. You can order these online in different sizes. A lot of people like Penzies or like other spice sellers. I do recommend you not go too large on the spice containers. It'll save you room too. Certain things like salt, buy the big thing of salt. Stuff like,
you're going to go through quickly.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we go through like salt, pepper. We do use granulated garlic.
I use granulated garlic more than garlic powder. Garlic powder always cakes and turns into like this hard mess.
Yeah. And I feel like that keeps its potency. The granulated garlic.
So granulated garlic potency is supposedly half of garlic powder.
Okay.
Yeah. So like if you're measuring equal volume amounts.
But that's always good. We put that on top of pizza.
I like it on pizza. And I have been specifying in the recipes now, though, granulated garlic instead of garlic powder. Because if you say garlic powder, and I don't want people to get confused.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that. It's time for the real reason that you're here. The real reason I'm here.
The real reason you're here.
All right, so we got our high-end plates here, which I think we're going to use paper plates from now on. So I have Greek chickpeas with parsley and cumin, Grecian-style eggplant with tomatoes and onions. I could just tell this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. And these are nice. They open up, so you don't have to use a can opener. What
need for a can opener, my most loathed appliance.
Yes, right? And then dolmas or Greek stuffed grape leaves.
I can't wait to try these.
These Greek stuffed grape leaves normally taste the same no matter where you get them.
Yeah.
They all, even like my friend who owned the Greek restaurant said like, yep, they come from the same place, you know, which I think is true.
I'm excited. Are we going to rank these or are we just going to taste them?
I think we just kind of taste them and tell people which one we think is really bad.
Bad?
I don't think any of them are going to be bad. I'm going out on a limb here and saying everything's going to be good.
All right.
All right. Which one do you want to do first?
Did you wipe down all of them?
Yeah. I mean, I did the best I could here. You know, like we're upstairs. You know, we don't have the sink by us or anything. So which one do you want to do first?
I feel like we should go from like least flavorful to most. So I feel like, I don't know, either. I think the eggplant we should hold for last.
We are going to be having new chairs and set up, not next week's one, the week after. We've got to paint the wall chairs, so we're going to have a different setup when we're eating the stuff. So that's the thing we're worried about, that the table is large enough and we're going to have white rug underneath us, which might not have been the best idea.
Let's start with the grape leaves.
Okay.
I think we should do the eggplant last.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
All right. It tastes like a stuffed grape leaf. It tastes like the one you get at the Greek restaurant.
It's good.
I love them. I could eat the whole can.
Tastes like a Greek restaurant.
It's stuffed with rice.
Yep.
It's a stuffed grape leaf. That's exactly what it tastes like. It doesn't taste any better or any worse than the ones that I've had in the Greek restaurants.
They taste very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
or diners.
In diners. There might be a few factories that make these, like food supply places that sell commercially. But I've had other brands too. I've had like the Sofia brand, which is an Italian brand, kind of like Cento. Theirs might have been a little bit more pungent, but for the most part, all these taste the same. And it's good. It's good.
Delicious.
So what do you want to do next?
Let's move on to the chickpeas.
All right.
Now, should we scoop these? Because, all right. I feel like chickpeas are kind of hard to eat individually, like with a fork. So I think these are probably better eaten with a spoon, but they're also, when we get these from the Greek restaurant by us, Acropolis, they usually serve it. If you eat there, they serve it for free as an appetizer, and they serve it to you with some warm pita. So you would put it on top of the pita, but we're not doing that. We're just eating it out of the can.
I think they're good. They're not, don't confuse them with the one from Acropolis. Is this Greek restaurant that's kind of local to where we live. It's the best Greek restaurant around here. Honestly, I know there's some better, people say there's better places in Astoria. This place has been going forever and they give you the most food. You know, they've had to raise their prices like other places have too, but you get a ton of food. So there's all these other Greek places here too. None of them, in my opinion, compare to Acropolis. It's not a good comparison.
It's not.
Their chickpeas are completely different than this. These are really good for what they are.
Yeah. So I am in my mind comparing it to the ones from Acropolis, which Acropolis has like fresh minced red onion in it.
Lemon juice.
And yeah, it's much more fresh tasting. Like you can tell they're not using it from a can.
They might be.
Well, they're probably using canned chickpeas, but then they're mixing it with the other stuff. Yeah. I'm getting too much cumin in here.
I like cumin. And I think it's good.
I think it's good, but it wasn't what I wasn't expecting it to be so heavy on the cumin. So I think these are good. I mean, they're like a good snack to have in a pinch. I would probably keep a can around in the pantry that once it's cleaned out. But okay. I don't love them.
I disagree with Tara. I think these are really good. I do.
Too much cumin for me.
Yeah, and I know you always had a problem with too much cumin.
No, okay. I don't have a problem with too much cumin. I just wasn't expecting these. Oh, okay. Is cumin used in Greek cooking?
This isn't supposed to be Greek.
Yes, it is. It says Greek chickpeas.
Oh, all right. It was more just Mediterranean. Yeah, I mean, cumin's not typically used in Greek food. I think it's more Turkish food that's
I don't
cumin.
Know. If anybody who's listening is Greek, let us know. Tell us we're wrong.
Yeah, I might be wrong about that too. We have crackers back here, but I don't think we need them. I think we can just use, unless you want a cracker. But.
No, I think I wasn't sure what to expect with this. That's why I said have the crackers in case it's like a spread. But
you can reach in and get some eggplant. Yeah. I think you should just go in and grab it. Okay. You know?
Oh, this looks good. I have very high hopes for this. So the eggplant is soft. It's submerged in like a tomato type of sauce. And yeah,
this is comparable. If you know the brand Sabra, it's comparable to Sabra, though I do think Sabra's is better.
Okay, I'm about to taste it. So yeah. I just wanted to describe it for listeners.
Yeah, and I'll continue to describe it as you taste it. So this is like ultra soft braised eggplant. It's probably roasted first. Then it's mixed with a flavorful tomato sauce. It's eggplant in sauce. So the ingredients are upside down, so you're going to have a hard time seeing it. I think it's good, but maybe Tara will disagree with me. She knows the Sabra one, too.
I want to eat the whole can.
Okay, you like it that much?
It's delicious.
Do you remember how the Sabra one tasted?
Yeah, I really liked the Sabra one. I haven't seen it. I don't know if they stopped making it.
Oh.
So this is obviously room temperature. I think it would be really good if it was warmed up a little bit. Mm. And I could see maybe putting this out as an appetizer with maybe a little crumbled feta.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's delicious.
It is good. If I had to rank these, the best one for me would probably be this one, which I think is that your best one too?
The eggplant one is, say it because you're pointing to it.
Yeah, this is the eggplant in tomato sauce one. That the last one we just ate, I think that's the best one. My number two is going to be the Greek style stuffed grape leaves. They are nothing to rave about, but they taste very similar to ones you will get in a diner or in your typical Greek restaurant. And then my number three, and it's a close number three because I thought they were good too, are the chickpeas with cumin. I think both of those are close. I think the eggplant is better.
Yeah.
But I like everything. Nothing. I wouldn't rate any of this stuff in a bad way. They're all good, and I highly recommend all three.
I agree with the order. My number one is the eggplant with the tomatoes, followed by the grape leaves, and then followed by the chickpeas. I think these would all be something good to, like I said, keep in your pantry. We just talked about the pantry. Keep them in your pantry. If you have somebody come over unexpectedly,
make a spread easily,
and you just want to quickly throw something out, these three things I would definitely put out.
Absolutely. All right, let's move into the questions.
All right.
We are ready for the questions. And if you do have questions, remember to send them to podcast@sippandfeast.com. That's the email for the podcast questions. Again, it's podcast@sippandfeast.com.
Yeah. And feel free to send them in a video or an audio file. All right, Jim, this question comes from Robert. Is there any type of dish you are thinking about making, but it seems daunting or intimidating? If not, are there any in the past that fit this description?
Robert, there are definitely dishes like that. One of them is a deboned whole chicken. Okay. This is you'll see videos of Jacques Pepin doing it, and he makes it look really easy. He does the whole thing in like 10 minutes, which is insane. But basically, you're taking all the ligaments, the bones, pulling them all out while maintaining the whole entire shape of the chicken. I've seen some other people do it. It's awesome because you're getting like, after it's done, then you can roll it, you can tie it, wrap, you know, truss it, whatever, and you will have perfect skin on the outside and just all edible meat on the inside, both the white and the dark meat. You can make it easier and just do this with like a chicken quarter, so you can debone that. So that's like a much easier way to do it. That's probably the dish that I think it would probably take me a couple chickens or more to start like perfecting it. And I would probably, you know, run through a bunch of chickens, which, you know, isn't the worst thing. I could just make chicken stock or whatever for ones that I don't succeed with. Other dishes that I think are really intimidating. It's funny, like they're not intimidating, but they're intimidating for me to do on for YouTube for like the cooking videos, because I just know I'm going to get like flack from certain groups of people. And, you know, the most vocal people, the most annoying people, I guess, are the typical like young, impressionable Reddit crowd. It's just I'm just being honest. They are the ones who just, they know everything, though they know nothing. And they tell you, you should have done it like this and this and that. You know, it's like, all right, you know, like you've been cooking for 5 years, you know. Obviously, they're just parroting what some other YouTuber told them to do. And then they take that as gospel until they find another YouTuber that they like better. So that's part of the reason why I just like stay away from certain things. Like I would love to do biryani, but that would get a lot of vocal critics. Fried rice. There's a guy named Uncle Roger who's made his whole entire career off of just talking about fried rice.
I think Uncle Roger's hysterical.
Yeah. So, you know, stuff like that, I don't want to get that type of audience. So I'd stay away from it.
You know what I would find very intimidating to make, especially after watching Mike G of Pro Home Cooks? He had a sushi chef come to his house and showed how to prepare sushi. And I didn't realize how much is involved with preparing sushi. It's not just like getting the fish and cutting it. There's so much more to it. So if you're interested, that video is actually a really good one. I don't know the name of it, but it's Pro Home Cooks. I would be very intimidated to make sushi at home. I don't even think I would attempt it. I'd just rather go to our local sushi place and have them fix it for me.
I would too. And, you know, a big part of doing it well or not is being able to source the freshest fish possible. When you're dealing with certain fish, like salmon and whatnot, you got to look out for things that could get somebody very sick too. So it's not something that I think I would do. Maybe, you know, and the other thing is too, if you're going to do it, you're never going to be able to duplicate a good Japanese restaurant, because the whole point of going to get sushi at a good Japanese restaurant is you get all these different flavors. So you have like 13 different pieces, 13 different fish. Each time you're having a piece of fish, you're cleaning your palate in between and taking the bite of the next interesting one. How are you going to do that at home? You know, you're going to be like, oh, I'm having a whole thing of tuna today. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's hard to duplicate that experience. Do we have any more questions?
Yes, one more. This is from Daniel. Daniel says, I will start a new job next month and will no longer be working from home. Can you please recommend a dish for me to take for lunch to the office, preferably something a little healthier, and it is okay to be reheated or eaten room temperature or cold?
Well, Daniel, I used to make these all the time when I was really into like,
I was going to say that. Go ahead.
So I was really into working out. It's like my former life. I mean, I'm going to start again. I've been saying that for 5 years. Okay. Going to start up again. But I was really into it, and I would make these things called power packs, and it's almost like meal prepping. So it would be brown rice. It would be like a different vegetable medley. Sometimes I would like do a saute. Sometimes
you would do edamame a lot.
Sometimes I would do like edamame from Trader Joe's, like the frozen bag, and then like
it's already shut. Like it's already taken out of the shell.
Or I would do like corn mixture or chickpea, and then I would do a meat. So sometimes it would be like seasoned grilled chicken. Sometimes it would be tuna, oil pack tuna, which is really nice. Sometimes it would be a little bit of beef, like marinated beef, like bulgogi style or whatever. And these were like, they're infinitely changeable. So you can start with the same two. We'll definitely start with the one, the rice, for that week. The next week, you know, you can switch to quinoa or a noodle or something. And then you can alternate like the vegetables for the week too. So you can keep getting these changes. All you have to do is just rotate the proteins, the grains, and the vegetables.
Yeah. And those were, I used to eat those too. And I think that those were good even at room temperature, where you could like keep it on your desk. I mean, you don't want to keep it on your desk and then refrigerate it if you don't eat it, because.
But you can just put them in the refrigerator, then pop it, take it out of the fridge an hour before you're going to eat.
Yeah.
And then perfect. And I would have like sometimes some oil and vinegar on them. That's mm-hmm. that's what I would do a lot. Or just straight vinegar if you want to be healthier.
Yeah.
You know, oil just has calories, but yeah.
I like orzo
yeah.
with chicken for, so you recently did an orzo with shrimp recipe. I think you could do the same thing, but maybe do it with chicken. I know sometimes like people are, when I used to work in the office, like everybody got mad at the people that would heat up seafood
yeah,
in the seafood. Microwave because it kind of stinks yeah. up the joint. But I think orzo with chicken, and that can also, that's also really good if it's eaten at room temperature. And the pasta salad, so we have yeah. we have a pesto pasta salad with chicken on the website. That one's really good.
And you could do whole wheat pasta too if you want to make it yeah, a little
healthier. If you want to make it healthy, you could definitely do that. And that's really good too, also at room temperature.
Yep. Yeah. So hope that helps you, Daniel.
And good luck with yeah. your new job.
Good luck. Enjoy the new job. And yeah, that's something everybody wants to work at home, but maybe it's nice to be working somewhere and being out and about. Me and Tara are stuck in here all the time.
Send help.
It's good for her, but you know, it's
no, I every single day when I hear the 5:45 train whistle blowing, I am like, oh, I am so happy I'm not on that train right now.
Yeah.
Because that was rough.
Yeah.
20 something years commuting from Eastern Long Island to either Jersey City, Brooklyn, Manhattan, all different places I worked. I'm happy to be home.
Well, I'm glad she's enjoying being my assistant.
Even if I'm with you.
Yeah.
Your assistant. You are seriously going to get smacked.
All right. Anyway, podcast. I'm joking too. She's my partner. Okay.
I am your superior.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, we're
equals. We're
partners.
Listen, if you don't see it that way with your wife or your husband, you just
we joke around a lot.
It's not. I'm gonna give you advice. It's not gonna last. Yeah, well, okay. It's
not, I will say I joke around a lot. Like I'm like send help. Like I actually do enjoy being with you. Like you are my best friend.
I mean, everybody's probably like has thrown up like three times already, like listening to this last 2 minutes. Podcast at sipandfeast.com. We will see you next time.